Yeah, woo! Woo!
Whoa. What the fuck is going on in here, son? Everybody out of my house. Ladies and gentlemen, one of us is drunk and one of us is sober. I'm going to let you figure out who is who as we go through the episode. Two Peas on a Podcast, where we review the latest and sometimes greatest movies every week. Gerald here with you. Nicholas, what's up, brother? How many, what do you call the thing? Keg stands have you done since the cold open?
Seven.
All right, well, that's good. How are you, man?
I misbehaved so much. Daddy came home early and came in here to give me a spanking and set me straight. What's up, baby? First of all, I miss you. We've missed you. I'm sure the audience has missed the sound of your beautiful voice in the video. The people who are watching on video, including Shyamalan's eyes peeking through the face under here, have all missed your beautiful bearded face dearly. What's up, baby?
Well, thank you so much. I wasn't going to come back this week. Honestly, I didn't even know if I was going to come back next week. My wife is in Europe doing her thing. She went over there to see some family members in Sweden looking that she's never met. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Looking for schools for our children. So I was like, my hands are full, man. I'm doing the Mr. Mom thing. It's a whole thing for like 2 weeks. So it's time is limited. But I did get those suckers in bed. And I said, you know what? Nick, let's watch a movie on streaming and let's talk about it just to get an episode out this week. And we decided to cover a movie called Incoming, which is a Netflix original that just came out last week, I believe, or maybe 2 weeks ago on Netflix. It's a high school raunchy coming of age comedy, right? I mean, it's like, you know, in the vein of Superbad, American Pie, like, you know, those kinds of movies.
Yeah. A modern kind of this would be the bastard child of, you know, some of those kinds of things, I guess, maybe.
All right, well, we're going to talk about Incoming. It is streaming on Netflix. Before we get there, Nick, let's see what the fans had to ask us this week. And we gave it to them like an hour ago, and I think we got a few good questions over there. I'm going to let you pull them out of the Discord chat. It's what we call one big question.
You got to ask yourself a question.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
My biggest question is what do you feel when you see M. Night Shyamalan's eyes peering at you through an alien facehugger?
Man, I tell you, that is not something you want to wake up to. Oh, man. In space or otherwise, you do not want to see that. What questions you got for us, man? You got to have a good one over there. I saw a couple good ones before we dialed in here, but I don't have it in front
of me. I actually really, really loved this one from our, you know, now, so here, audience, I apologize. So I shot my shot last week because I thought Brad of old man Brad was supposed to be here to review something this week, but.
Well, he's not reliable. He should have done better.
I turned out to be mistaken. That was actually my fault. But he asked Gerald, this is actually a really, really good question. He said, what was your drink of choice in your 20s?
Oh, well, that's easy for me, man, because it's always been beer. I've always been a beer drinker. Now, if we're talking about like college, like 20, 21, 22 years old, I mean, it was probably like PBR. I mean, they were like a dollar.
Wow, everyone is shocked right now. Everyone, let's all take 30 seconds and I'll just reel from the news that Gerald drank a lot of PBR.
I mean, you know, it's easy for me. Brad knows that. I'm trying to think of, you know, the only times I've ever gotten off of beer in my life where I had like a drink of choice that wasn't beer for like a long period of time was like, there was this weird time in my life where I was really into gambling and I drank Crown and Gingers, like Crown Royal and Ginger Ale. That was for about a year or two. But other than that, I've just always been a beer drinker. What about you?
So early 20s, this would have been pre-college, Nick, for whatever reason, and I don't understand why this is, but when I used to play music with my buddy in the shack, we called it, because it literally was a shack. It was like a 6x6 or 8x8 shack. It was the king of beers, baby. It was Budweiser, like straight up, not Bud Light, not nothing else. It was straight up king of beers. And then he was in college at the time, so craft beer was just kind of starting to become a thing, because this is like the early 2000s, right? Mm-hmm. And he starts bringing home all these different kinds of beers that I'd never heard of or never tried before, or in all these different varieties of beer. I'm 20. Well, I was of age. I was of legal age, I swear. Like, it was, there's just beer. There's no, what's a lager? What's an ale? What's a Hefeweizen? What's all this kind of stuff, you know? And then he started bringing all this kind of different stuff home. And so I got to try a lot of different stuff and broaden my horizons, as we'll say. Then when I went to college, and our beautiful executive producer, Dan, can vouch for this as well, but it was a lot of Lion's Head and a lot of Yingling. And in the fall, when everybody wanted to splurge, it was Sam Adams Oktoberfest. It was those three across the board. Whenever we had parties or whatever, those were basically the ones that we stuck to.
Well, I love this question too. Because I'm in beer sales and distribution now, and I've, you know, being in restaurants, I've arguably kind of been around it my whole life, aside from just being a beer drinker. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because my dad, you know, when I would talk to him about my job and the different restaurants I was working in before he passed away, my dad would tell me a story. He was like, dude, that is so crazy. I can remember when I went to the store, there were four beers. That was it. Like, you went in the grocery store, convenience store, whatever, and it was like Bud, Miller, Coors, you know, PBR. I mean, that was it. I mean, there wasn't like, you know, Oktoberfest, this, and sours, this, and all. It's just taken off so much. But that's good for somebody like me, because like I said, I've always been a beer drinker. I love trying new things. I got a nice little pumpkin night owl with me right now. I'm going ahead and cracking that open for the season.
God in heaven.
Get that going. But yeah, thanks for any. You got another one in there. There was a couple good ones. You want to do another one?
I actually really, really liked Chris Yaney, who, you know, we all love to hate.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if you have an answer to this. I was trying to think. I just kind of wanted to bring it up as a discussion topic, maybe. I don't necessarily know if you have one, but what's the craziest party you went to before you were 21?
I actually do have an answer to this, and I don't know that I want to say on air, though.
Well, we're past the statute of limitations here.
So I had, it was a party that I threw. UNC Greensboro was my first semester of college, and I had this duplex, which was not part of the campus or of the school, but it was on campus. And I had the friend that lived adjacent to me. Her name was Tia, and we were good friends. And we kind of mutually threw this party. And what ended up happening is people from the college ended up showing up to it because, like I said, it was on campus. But one of the greatest memories with my group of friends that I play fantasy football with to this day and stuff that I met in college, I worked at Pizza Hut at the time, and a lot of them worked there with me. But my friend Robert got into a fight with a bush in the front yard of my duplex because he thought it was looking at him funny. All right. And this is the same night that my ex-wife now at the time, who I was kind of courting at the time, we were dating and kind of, you know, becoming flirtatious and stuff. She stuck with me. Now, of course, we're divorced now, but I won her over knowing this, that the first night that we partied together, I pissed in the bed. That's how drunk I got. And she stayed with me, man. We were together for like 10 years after that. So it's just hard to resist, Nick. You know, peeing in beds and fighting bushes. It doesn't matter. You know, you just can't. I'm just there. I'm just like there. What about you? Do you have any parties that come up when you think about it?
I don't have any like specific parties that, I mean, because they're all haze probably. But I sure. know, like, I remember just back in the day, my mom and dad were divorced, and my aunt would be there to babysit us sometimes, but she would fall asleep really early. So then we would just wait until she went to bed, and like all of our friends would come over. And then we had like a tree fort we built out in the woods out behind my house. Cause I grew up in the middle of nowhere, like rural Northeastern PA. And we did stuff like where we would go and get like pallets from businesses and set like huge bonfires and stuff. There was more than a bush fight or two that definitely happens. You know, sometimes a bush pisses you off.
I mean, like, yeah, it looks like you're funny. Yeah, you know,
all sorts of different things. And it was always just a fun thing of trying to find out who had the connection to get the booze and all that kind of stuff. And
And it was also a bush with one of those like pointy leaves, you know, like the almost like thorns.
Those are always
know?
The ones. You never get into a fight with a bush you can beat. Like you never get in a fight with a bush you can win.
I just remember my friend Robert. I'd had a few beers at this point. Coming in, his fucking knuckles were up. I'm like, dude, what's going on? He's like, just fucking kick this guy's ass outside. I go outside and everybody's like, he was just out here fighting a bush. I'm like, what?
That's the way it is. So, and then you wake up the next day and you literally, like, it's like a pricker bush or something. And you wake up and you have, like, giant gouges and scratches and tears, like, all over your skin. And you're like, what the hell happened to me last night?
Somebody took an Upper Decker that night, too, by the way. Did I tell you about, you know what that is? When somebody takes a shit in the tank. Yeah, we had that.
I know what that is, Gerald. Jesus.
Yeah, that was a good party, man. You missed out. That was a good party. 25 years later, I still remember it. Actually, it's longer than that. But, you know. All right, well, thanks for the questions. And one big question, we appreciate it, guys. I think the questions are probably kind of bearing the lead as to what kind of movie this was, Incoming, that we're going to be talking about tonight. But definitely a lot of juvenile behavior, and we'll get into it. Before we get there, though, Nick, we like this. Now, you did a top five last week with Stu. By the way, thank you to Stu from Stu World Order for jumping in on the mic last week.
Even if you make me watch Wanted.
But you guys did a top five. So we haven't done our score reveal in quite a while, but we start out every review of the movie that we're going to be talking about by giving our score out of 10 up front, and we have not discussed it with each other in the early score reveal.
Damn it, this always happens. I think I'm going to score, and then I never score. It's not fair.
That was literally my favorite. Like, I really enjoyed doing that top five with Stu again. Thank you, Stu, for being on the episode and jumping in there, because I really, like, I know how busy Gerald's been being Mr. Mom and everything like that. And I have been, like, just absolutely crazy, insanely busy. So, unfortunately, we missed a couple of weeks there. And really glad Stu jumped in. But my favorite part of that whole thing was literally on Discord during the recording. As Stu and I are recording it, all of a sudden, that's when Gerald realizes, hey, wait, didn't we do this topic before?
Well, you know,
and then Dan are having this whole back and forth on Discord about, like, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure you and I did this topic and like all this stuff. And then Gerald, that's when Gerald posted his top five with his bonus five that we read out on the show last week.
I missed the memo. I knew that you were doing a top five, and I remember you asking, like, hey, we're going to do a top five. Like, you know, do you have any ideas for top five? But I missed the memo where you were using previous topics. I just didn't even, in fact, until I heard the episode, I didn't really realize that's what you were doing.
The great thing about it is, too,
that's
is
a good idea, though.
I think the good thing, and this won't really work for you since you are on most, if not all, of those episodes, but like, me and Stu weren't part of that episode, so there's still like, there's gold in them thar hills, yo. So if you want to see, more classic P's top five. I can't believe you did top fives for like 7 years, dude. That's nuts. Like, you did
a bunch
forever.
Yeah, we did
a long, long time. How do you even have lists of stuff left to count down?
What else was in the running that you guys were thinking about doing? Because you said there was a few
that were. Oh, God, he sent me a list of a whole bunch of stuff, and I threw it into a random number generator and picked them. I know top five pro wrestlers was in there, which I was hoping it landed on, because, I mean, I love wrestling, as you know. Yeah. But I landed on that. So I was just like, whatever.
That was cool. Another one that I did with Dan, I think. Picking all the topics I did with Dan, I think.
Probably. That's definitely a Dan topic.
I could be wrong, but I feel like Dan and I did that one as well. In addition to the one that you guys did last week, which was the top five movies that are older than we are, movies that came out before we were born. Yeah. For me, it was 1975 at the time. Dan's a youngin', so I feel like he was born in like last week. I don't
He's
know,
born 2 months after Batman 89 came out. That's why it's on
That's right. 89, yeah. And for you guys, it was 1980. But anyway, thank you, Stu, and thank you for everybody that downloaded and listened to that episode. We'll get more top fives in the mix. We'll do, I don't know, we'll do them on Patreon. We'll do them here whenever we need a filler or, I don't know, whatever. But
I was going to be like one. I was going to throw that in there, but then Gerald wanted me to read out questions from the audience. But like, if realistically, like, I love grabbing up those topics, even some of those really old topics, like 7-8 years ago. If it's something, especially if it's something that like is different, we can put a different swerve on it and get Gerald involved in it too.
There's no shit. Yeah. I mean, I keep them all in my letterbox, so I'd have to stay off of my letterbox so that I wouldn't be, you know, influenced by what I chose back then.
I don't know if you can. But I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, I don't know if I can either, actually. But if I do, then it'll be an organic list because I don't remember what the hell, you know, unless it's one of my all-time classics or something. Like I said, Jaws initially when you asked it on the Facebook group, and then I realized, oh, well, Jaws came out the same year I was born, even though it was released before because it came out in July and I was born in November. It was the same year, so I didn't. Yeah, I know.
Account.
I had a weird logic when I made that list 5 years ago or whatever.
I like that idea, man, though, because we can bank that stuff too.
True.
What I'm trying to do is I don't want to. I don't like missing weeks. I like. I mean, now I will never be so wizard and 10 years of no weeks off. That's insane. All respect in the world to them, but I could not do that. No. That would drive me absolutely crazy. But I don't like missing. I don't like leaving people without. So whether we pull it for Patreon and then we, you know, pull some of those episodes and drop them in the main feed whenever we do need to miss a week or a few or whatever, we got to do.
I like that idea.
We can do that. But
I like that idea. We should start.
All this stuff did not belong in this part of the show. Whatever.
Nah, whatever. Fuck it. All right. So you want to give your score? Let's do our scores out of 10, guys. Incoming, the new raunchy comedy that you can currently stream on Netflix. Here we go. I'm going to count us in, Nick. Yeah. We'll give our scores out of 10. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Bam. Oh, look at your little sad face on there. I gave it a 6. You gave it a 5.
5 out of 10 over here and a 6 out of 10 from Nick.
Look at your little frowny face on there.
Nick, thanks for being totally normal and giving this movie higher than you gave Alien Romulus. That's a totally normal thing to do. What the fuck, bro? 6 out of 10. I mean, are we doing spoilers?
Was that to my score, or was that to the movie?
I know, right? We can't spoil this thing, right? I mean, let's just talk about it, I guess. Or do you want to?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is a raunchy teen comedy. If you've seen a raunchy teen comedy,
right,
in the vein of your, like, what, Revenge of the Nerds, like back in the 80s, your American Pies in the late 90s, and thing, I get that could be a good thing to talk about, actually, Gerald, is like thinking about the raunchy teen comedy, thinking about the forebears of this, and even thinking about something like Superbad, you know, from the, what was that, late 2000s?
Yeah,
2000, something like that. Yeah, 2007, 2008, somewhere around there. Where do you fall into that category? Like, do you love the old school, like 80s ones that you can't watch any of them nowadays because they're so problematic? The ones from like the 90s when the Renaissance hit of like American Pie, Van Wilder was also in that conversation, I would think.
Yeah, sure.
Where do you fall into that category?
You know, I love them all, but what's interesting is I feel like how old you are when you watch them too, they hold a little bit more of a special place for me personally. Like, you know, when I went to see American Pie in the theater, I went with a bunch of my friends that were only maybe maybe 2 years older than the characters in the movie at the time that I saw it. And you just connect to it because it's people your age doing shit that you just did or that you want to do or, you know, whatever. And when you see movies like Revenge of the Nerds and all that stuff from the 80s, like, I love that stuff, but when I saw it, I was like 10. You know what I mean? So I was looking at it through a lens of like, oh, this is taboo. I shouldn't be watching this. But in other words, I didn't connect to it. Like, I didn't understand it on the same level. And then you have a movie like Incoming, which made me laugh. Like, I really did, especially in the first half of it. Like, I really did have fun with this movie, but at the same time, what ultimately kind of turned me off to it was that it was basically a ripoff, I felt like, frankly, of Superbad. It was very, very similar beats to Superbad. And now, of course, it borrows from the raunchy teen comedies, because like you said, if you've seen one, you've really seen all of them. And this doesn't really add anything to the equation. And I fucking hated the ending of this movie.
Okay.
In fact, I was probably at a 6 too, honestly. The ending, I was just like, what the fuck was that? That's how we're ending this movie? The credits started rolling. I was like baffled that it ended that way. But let's just give everybody, I guess what we'll do, we'll just say that we will be spoiling Incoming. If that matters to you, if you haven't seen it, if you don't want to be spoiled from any of the goofs that happen, or like, because there are a couple like kind of silly goofs that are new that we haven't really seen in these types of movies before that kind of were shocking, I guess, for a first-time viewer. And we'll talk about those. So if you don't want that to be spoiled for you, just so you know, We're going to run a quick promo break. Dan's going to spin it. And when we come back, we will be into full-blown conversation for Incoming. We'll be right back.
Two Peas on a Podcast is made possible by our executive producers. Dan Brennick, Caleb Brownlee, Daniel Henderson, Michelle Dodo, Paul Prezula, Chris Yeaney, Julio Oliveira, Drew Hallam, Dan Roski, Jared Taylor, Michael Hill, Jason, David Powell, Joey Austin, Imran Javed, Kayla McCoy, Rebecca Lurch, Brett Parker, Justin Winters, Heidi England, and Brad Hargis. If you'd like access to bonus reviews, the ability to submit roulette wheel picks, and a litany of backlog content such as bonus top 10s, G-tunes, and My First Time, please consider going to patreon.com/twopeasonapod and contribute just as little as $1 to have access to everything.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Peas. Dad's here, and you guys better behave yourselves or you're going to be in trouble.
I'm watching.
We're talking about, what is it? Incoming is what it's called?
Incoming, yeah.
So you gave this thing up. You did not pass this movie. I passed this movie. Well, five's sort of more of a passing grade for you, though. Because our reading systems are, systems are a little bit different. See, five's not a passing grade for me, though. So that's where it's like a little bit different. Yours is kind of just, I don't know. Yours is kind of like it's average. And I think you were talking about it. You were touching on it before we got into the spoiler section here. We are going to spoil everything about this movie. But as you said, when you talk about average, when you talk about kind of generic, think about any trope that you've ever seen in a raunchy teen comedy. Mm-hmm. This one felt like a clipboard checklist of you got to have this type of character, this type of character, and go down the list of checking off all those boxes and making sure you have all those different kind of things represented here. Is that kind of where you fell with it?
That's basically where I docked it, yes, because it did seem very formulaic. And I mean, in this movie's defense, this formula exists and it is what it is. I mean, it's a group of high schoolers for all intents and purposes trying to get laid, trying to, you know, party before they should. There's some cool little things in this movie that I had never seen before, but what happens with this genre of these raunchy teen comedies, which is, you know, a subgenre really, what happens every, I don't know, like 10 years or so, there will be one of them that has that formula, but exists outside of that formula. Like it's almost the through line, but then there's all this other stuff that they're incorporating to make it unique and make it its own thing, but it still falls in that category. The last one, I think, at least off the top of my head, that I think that really did that really well was a movie called Booksmart.
Booksmart,
which I loved.
So good.
I love that movie, which was essentially a gender swap Superbad. But it was unique. Like there were different things about it. And of course the gender swap thing was the biggest thing about it. That was a little bit different, but Superbad is another one, 2007, classic, in my opinion, at least in this genre. When you're looking at the PC part of it, I mean, people, you know, the later we get, we're 2024 now. The later it gets on the calendar, the harder it is to pull off different things, you know, the masses are going to accept or whatever. This movie, what I did appreciate about Incoming is that it is what it is. Like, it's not, I mean, there's a dick joke in the first 2 minutes of the movie. I mean, they're not trying to put any kind of facade over, like, we're just a mindless, dumb movie about these high school kids that want to, you know, go to this party when they really shouldn't be there. And, you know, a bunch of hijinks ensue. And, you know, we'll talk about some of the gags in the movie, too. Like I said, it's going to be spoilery if you don't want to be spoiled about that stuff. But I liked it. I mean, I definitely didn't dislike it. Like, I was laughing. There were some funny, funny-ass lines in the movie, especially in the first, like, 20, 30 minutes. There's that one scene where they end up calling the one kid fetus because he looks so young.
Yeah,
and
he's
walking through campus on the first day. And one of the, like, jock kids is like, "Hey, man, what the fuck? How old are you?" And he goes, "I'm 15. And he goes, "Shut up. Months or years?" And I was just fucking dying. It's just good, like, little one-liners like that. You liked it more than I did. I got to be honest. I thought that you were going to hate this. Like, I was like, Nick's not going to have any fun with this. He's going to be way too detached from the material. but you dug it more than I did, man. It's sick. So what about you? What did you like? Let's start with that.
I mean, I was still very detached from the material. These are, generally speaking, like some of the characters are high school sophomores up to seniors, but generally speaking, like the main cast of characters are just out of middle school. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's super weird because you got to kind of disassociate yourself when you watch this a little bit because they're middle schoolers, but they're going to like these parties like that you would see in an American Pie or that you would see in a Superbad, or like these parties that were like it back in the day, back in this kind of movie, it would be like, oh, this is a college party or this is a senior from high school's party or whatever else. But every kind of movie like this has to have one of those kind of big parties. And I guess you probably can't think about it too much. But to kind of touch back on a point you were talking about when you were talking about these movies and seeing different things and whatnot, I think what really elevates these movies when you see them is their casts and the characters and how memorable the characters they are, how memorable characters are able to create. And I think this does a really good job with some of them, but I don't think it really hits it out of the park with as many of the characters as it could have. And I think that that's kind of where the detriment of it really, really comes from, because it doesn't have that like really super core of memorable characters. There's a couple of them. We'll talk about them. Like, I really love Eddie. I thought Eddie and Connor, like, because there's kind of two different plots in this movie. That was a
good storyline. Yeah.
Like, that to me is like the heart and soul of this movie. Like, I really loved that. They steal Eddie's stepdad. Well, I guess it's not his stepdad. I guess he's just banging Eddie's mom.
I don't know
if they're married or
the stepdad was funny. I mean, he was doing all those lines.
Such a smarmy piece of garbage.
But he would say things like, I'm going to hang out in your mom tonight instead of hang out with your mom, you know, little things like that.
Oh, my God. They steal his Tesla, which is why there's a Tesla joining Gerald on the field now.
And I see it. Yeah.
They steal his Tesla and they go joyriding, and then they end up accidentally getting mistaken for an Uber and shenanigans ensue there. But that was like that whole sequence was so funny. Like all those different sequences with those two.
That was good.
I think to go back to something you were talking about there with kind of seeing something a little bit different, that to me feels like a modern evolution of a raunchy teen comedy where it's still raunchy, it's still gross out, but it takes it to a modern, like Uber's a thing now. Uber's such a huge thing now. So it just is easy to kind of set this in a modern setting. I think when it goes back to the party, and maybe this is because Benj isn't really a super, it's not that I didn't kind of care about the kid and he really liked Bailey and he really wanted to ask her out and all this different stuff.
So did I. But I don't know.
Like, I wasn't really that excited about that storyline versus the other one. Like, the other one was just so much funnier and everything. And I'm sorry, but I don't know how you felt about Koosh, the younger Koosh, not the older Koosh, but the younger Koosh was just kind of, if you've ever seen this kind of movie, you've seen that smarmy little dick who is kind of trying to schmooze girls. If this was like an 80s Revenge of the Nerd style movie or even like a 90s version of this movie, it would be that person who's like roofie and the girl for laughs. And it's obviously 2024 and they're not trying to take it to that extent, but he's definitely like locks a girl in this spa in his house like against her will and tries to keep her there so he can like seduce her or whatever.
He's definitely manipulating her. Well, I mean, what this movie does is like, so to answer your question, kind of, and to kind of talk about this, the cast as a whole, when the four main dudes were together, and that's what I already kind of touched on in that first 15 or 20 minutes, I loved them as a core group. When they get to the party, they split up, right? So you have, what was the dude that was in love with Bailey, the main dude?
Benj.
So Benj gets teamed up with Koosh because they're at the party. And then you have Eddie and Connor together, the other two, because they didn't get invited to the party or they got kicked out by the big brother or whatever. So they end up kind of doing their own adventure off to the side. So now you have these two groups instead of having them all together. When they were all together, I really enjoyed it. They split up, and I'm exactly like what you said. The scenes at the party, didn't really resonate with me, at least comedically. Like, I wasn't, I don't know. I was just kind of like, all right, let's see what's going on with Eddie and those guys. You know what I mean? And then we're going to have to talk about the shit sequence in the Tesla. Because that was something that Katrina, I think was her name, right? She was like the hottest girl in school. Oh, and another thing too, by the way, you mentioned about modernizing it with Uber and stuff. They did that with TikTok too in this movie. Yeah, because you know a lot of the kids have TikTok and they use it to invite kids to the party, and so that was a little element that was kind of incorporated there as well. So like Katrina,
there's certain things you have to forgive in this movie, and you just have to kind of accept as tropes of the genre. Don't ask why the cops haven't shown up to break up, this is literally like a block party in this movie that's thrown by like 13-year-olds. It's insane to me. You just kind of have to disassociate that stuff. Where did they get the absolute wagon load of booze they must have had to have for this whole party? Don't ask. You can't ask those kinds of questions when you watch this movie. Just have to accept them as just tropes of the genre, or you're going to have a bad time. But those things are even as tropes of the genre. I don't know. Like, I didn't, when I was in ninth grade, Gerald, this would have been ninth grade for me. I don't have middle school where I grew up because there wasn't enough kids. So I went, this would have been when I was going into ninth grade, though. When I was in ninth grade, I was not going to Ragers where there were kegs and liquor and everybody was getting trashed. I don't know if that's what kids today, that's what kids today are into or not. I don't think it is, but I mean, it was like weird to me. I was just like, this isn't, it didn't, it, it had a, it, and maybe if we have any like Gen Alpha audience members, which we don't, but I don't know, maybe fill me in on if that is actually a thing. If like, it's like a big issue of like really young kids now going to these ragers and getting drunk when they're like, I mean, maybe when I was like a senior in high school, like a junior in high school, like around then, sure. But I wasn't, as a freshman, like, I was not going to like these big parties and getting trashed and stuff like that. That was such a, so even girl, well, I mean, ninth grade, girls were probably like starting to become a big thing or whatever. I mean, granted, maybe a little bit earlier. No, sixth grade for me, I think. I got a lot of milk hormones and stuff, Gerald. I was part of that generation that we got all the growth hormones and everything. So all of us looked like we were 35 by the time we were in like sixth or seventh grade.
Oh, boy. Nicholas Stoller was the writer of this movie, and he's kind of made a name for himself. Like, he did the Neighbors films with Zac Efron, Get Him to the Greek, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So he kind of plays in that space a lot where it's like the partying, kind of college age partying and stuff. He did Bros a couple years ago, which was kind of like a gay Superbad.
Wait, what are you talking about? So,
Nicholas Stoller, the writer of this movie.
Dave and Josh Chernin wrote this movie. What are you talking about?
They were the directors. I thought...
they directed and wrote it, at least according to IMDb. What are you talking
about? Oh, I thought Nicholas Stoller. Oh, Nicholas Stoller was a producer. I'm sorry. He's a producer.
Oh, he's a producer. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did I say? I said writer.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm looking at this. Producer, I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, wait, who are you talking about? What?
Probably there for like
the pedigree of it or whatever. But I want to go back to what you said about splitting up the core group of kids.
Yeah.
This movie's only 90 minutes long. So you like the plot gets in and gets running like quick. Like, you don't have time to mess around. Like, you get in and you get going really, really quick. And I think that's to this movie's detriment. I don't think this type of movie is necessarily this short. Now, it didn't need to be much longer, but we needed more time with that core group, those four boys together first, before you split them off into separate
what groups, happens,
even if you were going to do that.
What happens if you don't split them up? What happens if all four of them are at the party? Is it still, can't we still get the adventure with Katrina shitting in the car and all that? Somehow.
You don't even have to do that in a car, though. You can do that in the house somewhere. But I mean, I guess it was because he stole his dad's Tesla and she shat all over the Tesla, maybe. Maybe there's a jab at Elon in there somewhere that I'm not going to read too much into.
I just know that I was really digging it when they were all together. And I remember just having a little bit of a detachment when they split up, because there was parts of it that I was into and parts of it I wasn't into. And obviously you have to sit through certain parts to get the other ones and, you know, whatever. So
I just wish we would have gotten more of the four of them together. So we really could have gotten to kind of understand their bond together as a group of, friends. Even if they were going to split them up, then I'm more invested in all of them. By only throwing them in so quickly and then splitting them apart really pretty early in the runtime of this movie, and then they're never back together again until the very end. Like, you don't see all four of them together again until the very end of the movie. It immediately kind of makes you miss one storyline over the other. And I guess, like I said, it just depends on which one you're more invested in. But that, like, the whole Tesla thing, I mean, we could talk about the shit sequence and all that now if you want to, but like that whole sequence is so much funnier and so much more entertaining that when it goes away from that, you're like, well, I want them to go back to that. I want them to get back to that.
And their reactions to it. The two actors. I mean, it was just classic.
Yeah, it was real good.
It kind of starts when they're driving the car. They have their ice cream that they're eating, you know, and he's like saying, "Oh shit!" And he turns around, the cops are there at the stoplight. He's like, "Oh shit!" And then the cops just drive off. And then I think a couple miles down the road is when she ends up shitting in the car, but.
They didn't even have her in the car when they ran into the cops. That was before they even went to the party. They just figured they were going to get in trouble for. But even before they go to the party, that part that was really really funny. Them just in the car, them just doing like that was going to be their big rebellion. But I mean, you know, here it's Chekhov's Tesla, right? You can't introduce a Tesla that they're going to steal from his shithead stepdad or whatever he is and not have it get either trashed or something was going to happen to that car. You knew something was going to happen to that car. I probably when again, hats off to, who is the actress that did this? What was her name? Lauren Gray. Hats off to Lauren Gray for basically playing this thing completely comedically. She's like this really really attractive girl and everything. But she's totally trashed. Like, she thinks that they're her Uber. So she gets into the Uber. They go to Taco Bell. She eats like an absolute ton of Taco Bell and then passes out and then shits herself all over the back of this Tesla. And then, like I said, from the moment, like, they're like, oh, like, oh, what is that smell? Oh, what is that smell? What did you do?
I know.
And they're like rolling down the windows and stuff. And then they like look back to her and she falls over. And then it's just that, and it's that disgusting, like light brown, liquidy, nasty. Like, well, you can't, it's not smell-o-vision, but it's that kind of, they did such a good job with it. It's
And they're like sticking their tongue out the window and like, trying to get the taste out of their mouth and shit, you know. But it starts when they pick her up in the quote unquote Uber and they're like, where do you live? And she's like, Taco Bell. He's like, you don't live at Taco Bell. And she's like, I bet your ass I do. So I was just reading about her. Lauren Gray, by the way, she was born in 02. So I can say she's hot, right? How old is that? Yeah, she's hot. But she's known as a TikTok star. So she started her TikTok career in 2016 at the age of 13. And she was the most followed individual on TikTok for 1 year, from March of 2019 to March of 2020. And she also just recently signed a deal with Virgin Records to be an independent recording artist. So she's doing some big things. But yeah, she did do a great job in that role. She played it perfectly. I mean, she really did. She nailed it.
I mean, like I said, kudos, because not every up-and-coming star would necessarily take that kind of a role and play that kind of a character where literally she just gets trashed. Like, she just absolutely gets trashed and then shits all over. Like, literally half of her screen time in this film is her just covered in shit.
It really is. Yeah. So also the main dudes too, like, it was a little paper thin in terms of like what we're supposed to follow with them, like their journey, their individual journeys. Obviously Benj's is his crush on Bailey. And that's kind of the main factor that circles around the whole movie, is like he wants to have his first kiss with her. I thought the scene with her tit falling out was pretty funny because he's sitting there like talking to her at the breakfast table, you know, and he doesn't say anything to her. And just
is that all you thought it was? Is that all you thought it was?
A wardrobe malfunction. Yeah, it was funny. I did like Bailey too, by the way. How old is she? Look that actress up so I don't get in trouble. But the other ones, when it comes to their motivations, like, you already mentioned it, but I mean, Koosh was like super thin and douchebaggy, and his whole thing is like he wants to prove to his brother that he's cool. Like, what?
I mean, we've seen characters like this in American Pie and other types of this movie, though, where the character's got a really cool older brother, and it's like, oh, I'm the younger brother. I gotta be the stud, just like my older brother was.
Stuff.
But like, it masks all this insecurity that that character has because they're just not the same person, but they try to be. But all that stuff is kind of undercooked. It's more left to, if you have seen enough movies in this genre, like you and I have, then you can immediately see what they're going for.
Sure.
But I don't think enough of the kind of writing is on the wall for this character. In terms of that, I see maybe a little bit of that insecurity, but it feels, I don't know, it almost feels like it's just kind of forced in there. It's like, well, this character has to have this arc and this journey in order for him to not just seem like a total, you know, womanizing scumbag.
Right.
So it's not, he's the weakest of the four by far. Like, by far. I really do like Benj. I really do like that actor. I really like that performance. But I don't know. Like, I was less invested in his kind of whole deal than I was in, I mean, like I said, I mean, maybe it was wiser to split them up, but maybe, like, I don't even really know. I'm trying to think. And then, I don't know, Gerald, have the times just changed? Or are we just so out of touch and out of step now with things? But what is this like when you're a senior in high school, you get assigned a freshman that you have to carpool with?
Yeah, I've never seen that.
I've never heard of that. That's like a really, if you're a listener or you're watching this over on the tubes, let us know if that's a thing or if it's a thing you've ever heard of. But I'm like, that just seems like a really odd thing to me to force a young kid who's just getting into high school to force like a whole bunch of seniors from high school to pick them. That seems like such a weird program to me.
I don't know if that's a real thing. I've never heard of it. So
I mean, he's a complete tool and you absolutely hate him from the second you meet him. But I love the performance so much. It was Thomas Barbusca was Ruby. The kid that was picking him up was like his carpool kid. He like takes him to the playground and like tries to sell vitamin D as drugs.
Yeah.
Like, oh my
and
God.
He keeps saying, I got to get home and do my homework. He's like, dude, we fucking stop talking about homework.
Like that kid was only in a few scenes, but I really, really love that kid. Good. There were a lot of really bit part characters that I feel like.
Well, let's talk about a couple of them real quick because I want to ask you about Bob. I want to ask you about Bobby Cannavale, the
Jesus
teacher.
Christ.
I mean, first of all, I'm glad that he got let go at the end because the whole time I'm going, dude, everything that these guys are doing is on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. Why is this teacher at this party? And not only why is he at the party, why is he doing shots? Why is he fucking jumping in the pool on fire? Like, I mean, you know, say like it gets worse and worse and worse and worse for him. And I'm like thinking this is not real. And then luckily the principal lets him go at the end of the movie, which thank God, because that would have been a huge hole for me.
It was a perfect button at the end of the movie for them to come back. And he's literally electrocuted and he's burnt like on fire because he's doing that dumb thing that you've seen drunk people do at parties before. I guarantee Gerald's seen it in person. I guarantee I've seen it in person of somebody taking liquor and spitting it out and lighting it on fire. He's doing that. He sets himself on fire and then they throw a cattle prod in the pool when he's in the pool and he gets electrocuted. Like all those scenes are hilarious. I loved he's at the party and because he's like the chemistry teacher. So he's at the party and he's like, OK, I'll stay for one drink. But you guys are going to learn something about it when I do. So he's doing all these science experiments. He's making these shots. And he's like, now the 151, when I put this on top of here, it's got more alcohol in it. So it's just going to kind of flow on the top and like all this different stuff. Oh my God. It was good. I loved him in this. He was good.
Once that logic was tied up at the end, I was okay with it too. But I also thought it was funny how he was there and he was like, why am I here? He was talking to himself like he was going to leave, like he shouldn't be there. And it starts there. And then every time he goes a little further and further into the darkness, because he's like, oh no, I'm not going to have a beer. I'm just here to say hi. I'll just come in to say hi real quick. And then somebody offers him a beer, he drinks, you know what I mean? And it gets worse and worse and worse till eventually, you know, he's on fire in the pool, you know, and it's just funny how it kind of got out of control for him. The other things I wanted to mention were the ending, because that was what really, really hurt this movie really for me. So let me set it up for anybody that hasn't seen it real quick. So I'll keep it as brief as I can, but basically Benj comes to like a pep rally or whatever that they're having at the school. Bailey have kind of been on the outs because he was caught by her, which, by the way, I thought was way too convenient that she walked in the room at that moment. But she walks in while he's like doing a line of drugs, which I don't even know what ketamine is, but I thought it was cocaine. I was just like, Benj, I thought it was cocaine. But he was doing a line of ketamine off of another hot girl's navel or whatever.
Right.
And Bailey walks in and sees that. And this is after they have a bit of a connection. So she basically is like, oh, well, that's you know, fuck you. And so then they kind of are on the outs. So he's telling his sister, like, I blew it with Bailey. Like, I messed up. And his sister's like, just be yourself. Like, she likes you if you're just yourself. Right. So then cut to the end now. So he goes to this pep rally and they're doing all these announcements and all this shit. And they're like, oh, we have one more announcement from Benjamin, whatever. He goes up there and does a full blown rendition with the entire high school watching him. Okay, of Stevie Wonder, Signed, Sealed, Delivered. All right.
Yep.
So much so that everybody starts clapping in sync. Somebody gets on the piano and starts playing piano for him. He's dancing around the gym. He's singing. I mean, first of all, that guy would have been fucking laughed out of the fucking world by those high school kids if that shit had been happening in real life. But anyway, he gets through the number and then he says, hey, Bailey, you know, please be my girlfriend. Will you be my girlfriend? And she goes, no, dude. And kind of like scoffs at him and kind of like, you know, makes fun of him basically. And then his buddies come down to console him and she turns around and looks back at him and winks at him and the fucking credits roll. Do one of those ending explain videos for me right now, Nick. What the fuck was that? What was I supposed to get from that?
Well, they
did
talked
she
about
like it. Him or what? What no,
they
what's
talked
going on?
About it. They talked about it at the party because she was a sophomore and he was a freshman. She couldn't admit that she liked him or
that's
anything
it?
Like that. So okay. She had to play it cool, but like she had to be like no in front of the whole school. But she gave him the little wink to be like, yeah, you're still in, bud. You're still in, bud. At least that's the way.
Oh,
that's the way I read it.
Oh my god. Okay.
At least that's the way I read it. That whole scene. Yeah, but you're dead right though. Like that. Well, you knew. They kept dropping. It's like that whole thing. You drop it. You mention it at the very beginning of the movie. It's a classic cinema thing where you mention something at the very beginning of the movie where he's talking to his mom and she's talking about how he used to be a singer. And he's like, no, I hate singing. I gave that up. I don't want to be a singer anymore. Blah, blah, blah. So you knew at some point this kid was going to start belting it out during this movie. You knew it. Like, you knew they were planting that seed for a reason.
Yeah, they spent time on it, for sure.
They spent time on it. So I didn't think they were going to go for that whole ass rendition at the pep rally or whatever. I really didn't think that was going to happen.
You know, now, when that type of thing was believable was a movie you and I both liked last year called Bottoms, where it was, like, surreal.
Man, Bottoms is good.
And it wasn't, like, real-world high school. It was, like, high school, but, like, kind of otherworldly.
You know what would have made this movie better? Marshawn Lynch just rolling in here. Just
Marshawn
beast mode,
makes everything better.
Beast mode rolling in here, just like out of nowhere, just commenting on everything he sees going on around him. That's what I needed. I needed beast mode wandering through that party, being like, "The hell
would
are they
you,
doing over there? What
would you call? Would you classify Bottoms in raunchy teen comedy?
It's, that might it's, be the it last plays one. Around in that space. I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think it goes outright raunch though. I think it's definitely teen comedy for sure. I don't think it goes for like that gross out raunch factor though. This movie, if you take the shit scene out of it, this movie wouldn't be either. This movie would just be kind of that coming of age teen comedy like we've seen a lot of different times. You cross that line into the raunch when you have that really raunchy element to it, like you have in Superbad with the period blood on the pants, or you have in American Pie with Stifler getting pissed on and then drinking the cum and
fucking the pie and all that shit. Yeah.
Well, American Pie just has like it's a constantly like this scene one ups this scene, you know.
Well, in wrapping up on Incoming, let's go ahead and give our final thoughts on it. You know, for me, I didn't hate it. I think that the bottom line is if you like those teen raunchy comedies, then you'll like this. I mean, you're going to enjoy it. It's not, you're not going to walk away from it thinking it's the next Superbad or the next Booksmart. I mean, it's nowhere close to those.
Yeah, it doesn't touch Booksmart. Booksmart is so good. This doesn't touch Booksmart.
It's taking elements from a lot of those movies and, in my opinion, basically replicating them with these modern characters, kind of like what you talked about with a couple modern twists with TikTok and Uber and, you know, some other things in there. You know, there was even direct references, like we talked about the shit scene. For me, I thought about Bridesmaids almost automatically when she's out there shitting in the street, which is one of the most memorable scenes.
Yep.
Stealing the Tesla made me think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, the John Hughes classic when they steal Cameron's dad's car and they go into Chicago. You know, so a lot of stuff that was like a potpourri of all these different kind of teen movies thrown into kind of this homage collage that these guys made.
Which makes it feel familiar. You know, it does make it feel familiar, but it also makes it feel like, okay, here's this big sandbox to play in, and here are all these familiar toys that you're used to playing with, like the stolen car and all those kind of different things. Now do something, like elevate it somehow. And right. I think that's where this film ultimately fails. I think that that's why it only gets a 6 for me, which is barely passing. I laughed a bunch of times during this movie.
I enjoyed
my time with it enough to where I would recommend, if you're somebody who can at least just watch a movie like this and just laugh at it. I think it's a good modernizing, I'll say. I think it's a good modernizing of kind of the raunchy teen comedy. I don't think it intentionally goes out of its way to offend or anything like that, which I think is kind of how you make this kind of movie nowadays. But it still has the gross out humor, and it still has, you know, there's even a titty bonus, Wayne. And, you know, there's it still has those same elements that these kind of films have always had growing up. But now the humor is not targeted at a specific group or whatever, you know.
Oh, wow.
And like I said, I think that this is how you modernize it. But I don't think that this is like you said, this isn't the next Superbad. This isn't the Superbad of 2024. This isn't the Booksmart of 2024. I guess we're probably still waiting for that movie. That movie just hasn't come yet.
Actually, you know what? It's very different. But there's a movie I saw today. This is one of my favorite movies of the year called Dee Dee, which is a coming of age movie that's like it's like Superbad in the mid 90s from Jonah Hill, kind of like mixed together. Hmm. It's a skateboarding coming of age movie about this Asian boy who has his crush and he's trying to meet her. And you were mentioning Stifler drinking the jizz and all that. There's a scene in Dee Dee where he pisses in his sister's lotion bottle. And she uses lotion with his urine. I mean, stuff like that. So it is definitely got elements of like raunchy comedy, but it's a coming of age story. It's a really cool movie called Dee Dee. It's on demand right now. I was just looking up Isabella Ferreira, who played Bailey in this movie, because I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to get on any list by saying she's beautiful. But she was in Joker. I didn't know that. She was. She had a small part in Joker with Joaquin Phoenix a couple years ago. So that's interesting.
I desperately have tried not to remember anything about Joker, even though you're going to make me go see the second one. And what is
Folie
that, like 2
I
weeks?
Do. Folie I do.
Two or three
yeah, it
weeks?
It comes out in October.
Yeah, it's that's like what October we got to talk about. What's next, Gerald? What's coming? Since you broke right. in, you barged in, you ruined the party.
All right, so let's do it. So I need to talk to you. So real Uh-oh. Quick, Incoming, it's funny. You'll laugh. If you like teen raunchy comedies, you will probably get some giggles out of this. I just wish it had stuck the landing more. I wish they'd kept our core group together. And frankly, I wish there had been more boobs. All right. So
I need Wayne Aruzu to watch the whole Tesla shit sequence right now. That's I need that reaction.
Oh, man. I need to talk to you, though, because I'm not officially back yet. My wife's gone until the 24th. She's in London and Sweden and God knows where else she is. What am I doing? Am I here next week, or you got somebody on the docket next week?
Well, because we're saving Beetlejuice until you come back, because I know it's something you really, really wanted to cover. And then I don't think we have anything else until Joker 2. I don't think we had anything planned for the week following that. So... yeah, we can, I don't know, like, why don't we leave it up to the audience? What would you guys want to see a retro review? You want to see another top five? Let us know. Hit us up on, you know, all over the socials and whatever. Gerald,
we'll have Dan do a poll or something too.
Yeah, Gerald might not be able to make it because his children may have him hogtied to the water heater by then.
But I needed one more week off, and then I was going to come back the following week for Beetlejuice. But I don't, like you said, I don't like having gaps in the schedule. So if you can make it work, top five, whatever, then that's great. If not, then you got to go see Beetlejuice, though, the new one. I know you haven't seen it yet, right?
But no, I haven't seen it. No, I wanted to wait until it was time to see it, because I didn't want to do, like, we both saw, this is like inside behind the curtain here, but we both watched, I watched the TV glow, and we were going to record it for, but that was like 2 months ago.
And then, I really wanted to talk about that movie. That movie really, I feel like, sparked a lot of conversation. Its themes and kind of like,
you know what, it would have when messages. It was fresh in my mind, not now. Not now. True. Like, not even close.
Although I do think it's streaming on like Hulu or something now for free. So I don't remember what service, but I feel like it's available. Or HBO Max, maybe. Or not. It's not called that anymore. What's it called? It's just called Max.
It's just Max now. Yeah, it's just Max.
Yeah, I think it's streaming on Max right now. So you could rewatch it.
But regardless, let us know, audience. We'll give Gerald another week off so he can continue. Well, his children are going to kill him by the end of next week anyway. So say your goodbyes to him now.
This will be the last time you hear from me.
This will be it. The only Gerald we're going to get is this beautiful one up here with his little earring. So let me know. And if you're a podcast host that's listening and you want to jump on the microphone with me, come on, and we'll do a top five of your choosing. We'll do a movie of your choosing. We'll do whatever you want. And then when Gerald comes back in 2 weeks, we're going to do Beetlejuice.
Don't say it three times. Don't say it three times. I don't want that fucking show. I'm trying to go to bed here in a minute. Okay. If he shows up, it's not bedtime. I'll tell you that.
My favorite thing about there's a Progressive commercial that's like they have a tie in with Progressive.
Uh-huh.
And they only don't say Beetlejuice three times, so that way they didn't have to pay Michael Keaton to show up for a Progressive commercial.
That's good stuff. Oh, man. All right, Nick, I love you. Thanks for holding it down while I'm on somewhat of a break, but I'll be back in the next week or two, and I'll, you know, I am putting content out on YouTube when I can. I just did my first wave of Oscar predictions. I've got
You want to know what Gerald's early Oscar predictions are before any award season movies have even come out.
Yeah, round one. and I just recorded today my opinion. In my opinion, the most undervalued horror movies of the year so far. So I'll throw that on YouTube when I get time to edit it. And the website's up and running. We're doing reviews on the website. Dan's going to be writing reviews. Stu from Stu World Order, who was here last week, is going to write reviews for me as well. So, check out 2peasonapod.com, guys, for all that information, links to YouTube and everything else. Nick, here on the main podcast, as always, brother, it's nice chatting with you. And thanks for holding it down for the next couple weeks, man. I really appreciate it.
You know I love you, baby. And you know who else loves you? Shyamalan peeking through this face hugger mask thing, man. Here. That's why, man, it has eye holes, because it's a face hugger mask. That's why it has eye holes. It looks like it looks even scarier somehow, and it's like peering into my soul. I can't get the visage of. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he's, I don't know, it looks like a mask that they wore Coming to America when they were dancing with the. It doesn't look like a face. It looks like an elephant mask of some kind.
It does sort of look like an elephant mask. You're not wrong.
It's frightening. All right, man. Record something next week, would you? Please.
I'm on it, baby. All right. I'm on it.
And then,
let us know, ladies and gentlemen, what do you want to hear next week? And yeah, if you want to come on and maybe you just want to come on and yell at me about stuff for an hour, I'm game for that too.
Yeah, so, do that. Get Brad. He's not doing anything. What the fuck? Why did Brad cancel this? He was supposed to be recording this. I'm mad at him. What did he say? He had to go to some festival or something?
Listen, Gerald, it's the spooky time of year. You're the horror guy.
No, and yeah, Brad but had, I mean, I needed him. You know, this
Brad
is bullshit.
Had a horror hound or hellhound weekend. Listen, here's what it really was, okay?
If it was horror hound, I'm okay with it.
Spirit Halloweens have popped up in vacant department stores all over the country. And yes, Brad has been trapped inside a basement of one for the past 3 weeks.
All right, well, I guess that's fair then. All right, well, Brad, if you're listening to this, get off your ass and record something and help me out, all right? Nick, I'll talk to you when I come back, whether that's next week or the following week. But I appreciate you, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Be safe out there.
I love you, man. Peace.
Talk to you later.